This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanas. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Dumb Gay Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we talk about the week in politics like we're talking about the week in reality TV.
And this episode is late. I hate putting it up late because I know people have their listening routines, and it's a fucking bummer when that gets interrupted, like when it happens with Howard Stern with us, when it's reruns. But I have been in my feelings, girl. And you know what happens when people get in their feelings?
What?
They Demi Lovato out. And that's what I did. And I took us on a full bender. And although I'm horrified the podcast is late, at this point, I'm just glad we're not dead.
You know, we're human beings.
Okay? We are.
And, you know, we're living. We're living life. And that's just what happens.
Like, you go and you go and you go until the wheels fall off, and they fell the fuck off. But here we are.
Here we are. We're not dead.
No.
Yet.
Yep.
I think we're going to live. I think we're going to live.
I think we are too.
I think we're going to live. So,
and I get my feelings.
That's okay. And everyone's allowed to be in their feelings. And for anyone who's listening, who's in their feelings, who might, you know, who takes their feelings on a drive-by and takes the feelings and, you know, just feelings out and just does it. Just, you have to remember it's okay and that you're going to come back from it.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can't survive. And that is true. I mean, that's whatever saying, you know, right? Like, there's nothing. And that's true. It is true. Except maybe a fatal gunshot, a beheading, and things.
When we were late and I called my friend Anne, and she's like, as long as you didn't kill anyone last night, I think you're good. And then I just sat there and she was like, you didn't kill anyone, did you?
Well, I'm still alive.
Yeah, I mean,
we're still alive.
So I am thinking like, hey, we didn't accidentally fucking kill a drifter. You know what I mean?
No.
Trying to get our rocks off. Nope. Way worse thing. So
there are.
That's what happened, kids. I'm sorry it's late. It is a day late and it is a dollar short because the shit doesn't.
Because we ain't making a dollar.
That's right.
And that's just what's up. And that's okay too. That's okay too. Because why not? I'll be living in my truck next month and it's fine.
So we got some gifts and I don't ever love for the whole beginning to just be about gifts.
Yeah,
but sometimes when you get a lot of gifts, you got to do it. You know what I mean? You got
to. There's no way for us to thank people except for now in this moment. So we can't.
And that's the way we want, you know, because these gifts, they are beautiful, all of them.
They really are. They really, and especially when you're going through your feelings, girl, and a gift shows up.
Please believe.
There's nothing better. But don't feel that, please, but I do want to say you don't have to send gifts. Like, don't feel compelled.
Oh, yeah, at all.
We don't want you to do that. We don't, please. But anyone who does, obviously, we appreciate it, and we're grateful for you. And
we got a beautiful email that we're gonna read at the end.
Okay.
And that was just as touching as any gift. You know what I mean?
Of course, of course.
Greg
Garino.
Garino.
Our fave Houston immigration lawyer.
That's right.
He sent us two big Yetis with our names on them. Now, and I don't mean two enormous fabled forest creatures.
Like Bigfoot? Is Yeti a Bigfoot? Mm-hmm, or is it a snow?
That's Yeti is Bigfoot, yep.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean two large travel mugs that keep things cold and or keep things hot, which apparently are very popular in Texas.
Well, they're very popular everywhere now, but they started in Texas, I assume, because that's where they are very popular there, and that's where Greg's from.
Well, there's nothing I like more than if A, something with my name engraved on it, and B, something that will keep things cold and or keep things hot.
He asked, I think these might be, since they're so big, they're mainly for cold. I mean, although it would keep things hot.
Yeah.
But I could put some sucking soup in it, like we're in the 80s taking our thermos to work.
Nice. I like that.
So
oh my God, I just had a vision of putting SpaghettiOs in it.
That'd be funny. And that'd be good. I fucking love SpaghettiOs.
I love SpaghettiOs. Ugh.
He asked if I had a Yeti, and I said yes, but I'm like, but bitch loves a travel mug, so send them on, Greg. And you know what? I wasn't lying, and she loved it, and we loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, then Jennifer Johnson, a.k.a. Indigo Oscar, who's the graphic designer who made our DGP logo that you see, and the banner on the Patreon page, and 1,000 important pictures for Julie where she's starring in Game of Thrones.
They're important to me. If I'm living my dreams through those photographs. Mm-hmm. I'm never slimmer. I'm fit. I'm in a man's body sometimes. Women's bodies. It's just fantasy. It's fantasy role play. And I love it. And I get to be in. She sent this great one, me and Game of Thrones. This package.
Yeah.
We've had ones where we're duos, like Laverne and Shirley, Cagney and Lacey. I mean, these are what dreams come true.
And she did all this other work for us for free. I mean, she won't even take money. She's done the work she's done to never stop. She's made things we've used for cards, promos, mailers, whatever.
Yep.
Now, this is a birthday gift for Julie, but it was sent to the wrong address, so we had to do some recon. Mm-hmm. Pee-wee, no! So we had to do some recon.
Hand that over.
And get it here, so that's why we're here talking about it late. I'm so in my feelings that she wrote this long, like, sort of letter. Not long, but she, like, typed out this pretty thing. And it wasn't even sad. It was it's a funny, nice note, and I'm crying the whole way through through the card. But I've seen that in porn.
You have?
Uh-huh.
What's that for?
I'm not sure, but I've seen that vibrator in porn. So she got Julie this beautiful, beautiful vibrators. And as we know, kids, vibrators ain't cheap, honey. There's a Swarovski.
Jesus Christ.
Like, jewel on the top. And it's pretty and like rose colored.
Right. And it's it's large.
I'm going to hear buzzing in that room tonight.
And it.
So.
And also, like, I don't. It's almost like you could put this on a stand.
I feel like I see them put that on the clit.
This?
So, yeah. Maybe it goes in the asshole. I don't know. We'll have to look it up. That's really going to stretch your asshole out if that's what that's for. Beautiful vibrator. Beautiful. And the gift, she said at the end, they say the best gift is the gift of loving yourself. it's just, it's a great gift idea.
It is a
that
great,
I
it,
often
it really
overlook.
Is. What a great gift idea.
Only time I ever gave one was, I gave one as a push present, as they're so annoyingly called.
What's that? What is that?
It's like after you have a baby.
Present? Oh, because somebody pushed a baby out of the pussy?
Yeah, yeah. I gave one to my friend Jessica after she...
Pushed a baby out?
Yeah, because I don't know. Who knows what happens to your fucking pussy after a baby comes out of it.
Apparently it rips in half and stretches open. Yeah.
I said, let me get her something to enhance her sexual pleasure. Because I'm a good friend.
You are.
So I wanted to read this little note from part of Jennifer's email because I thought, or her letter, because I thought it was funny.
Okay.
Even though I cried through it when I read it to you aloud today.
Yeah.
She said, this is one point part of it. By the way, my boyfriend's name is Todd. A few episodes ago on the Patreon, you were joking about demoting Todd and having him get you an orange juice and a beignet, and then said you were feeling masculine and wanted to peg him. I left that clip on his voicemail and he died laughing. So feel free to use the name Todd anytime you're making fun of a guy because we loved it.
That's awesome. And that is the name we generally use.
We
I don't know why.
Because my favorite thing is Not Now Todd.
Oh, that's right.
Not Now Todd is also
from
Blue Steel. What's the name of Zoolander?
Uh-huh.
His assistant's name is fucking Todd. And he's like, Not Now Todd. Get me a foamy latte, Todd. And he treats Todd like shit.
You're right, by the way, about this part. It is for the clitoris.
That's what I've seen in the porn. Like, so I like to watch sensual massage porn from time to time, and they will always
use a
the man is dressed.
Right, and he's he does the thing. I've seen it.
Yeah, and they I've seen that used in the sensual massage porn.
Interesting.
Yeah. So maybe Jen watches the same porn.
I think this
as
is
me.
Made in Germany. Oh, maybe she does.
Now I know there's 17 and 16 year olds listening. Wow. And I feel so differently about all the jizz talk we do.
Well, you know what? 16 and 17 year olds, if the one thing you take away from this is your self love.
Yeah, you need to. If you're not having orgasms,
pleasure in yourself.
Turn to your mom right now in
That's
the minivan
right.
on your way to school.
That's right.
And tell your mom you want a vibrator.
Girls, 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 listen up. Everyone in the car, listen up. You are in charge of your own orgasm, okay? You are. You have to be.
You have to know.
And you have to know how. And even if you want someone else to do it for you, you at least need to be able to guide them to tell them what to do. So that's why vibrators are great.
And for any virgins out there, I wish someone would have told me this. And I saw it in a movie where this girl goes to lose her virginity, and her name's Brandy in the movie. Ooh. It's that girl, Aubrey Plaza. It's this movie about her trying to lose her virginity.
Uh-huh.
In the movie, they said, get a bunch of lube and get on top. And
a bunch of lube and get on top.
And get on top. And that's what she does.
Of a guy?
Yeah. So that you're not being impaled by someone who has no idea. And the lube, like if only I had known to use a buttload of lube, I would have. Because by the time you're nervous, it's hurting.
Of course.
That's for the one virgin listening.
That's... I don't know if I would have been able to do that.
All right.
Okay,
so
anyway.
The next one is from Ashley Ryder, our super important Patreon Fran, who hooked us up with this guy, the guy from TMZ, Van, the one who went off on, when Kanye went off on him, and then he did the speech of his life. Remember? Your life,
amazing.
Yeah,
I loved it.
And it was like slow clap.
It was so good.
And then Ashley messaged us on Patreon and said that her friend works at TMZ, and she knows, and she got us Van's email.
Right.
Now, I mean, the news is ever changing. It's ever changing.
Yes.
So we never bothered with Van.
No.
However, we never forgot Ashley.
No.
And she got us definitely probably the funniest gift we've gotten, next to possibly the homoerotic art, bath art featuring Don Jr. and Eric Trump from Ally and Mike.
Yes.
It's like these two are... They're going in the fucking hilarious, hilarious pile.
I did not know what to expect, like at all. I never would have guessed this, ever. I never would have.
So I'm standing up. I want to set the scene.
Okay.
I'm standing up and Julie's sitting on the couch with like the coffee table there. And she's like opening the thing with like an X-Acto knife she keeps by the couch. Because you know what? That's where you need an X-Acto knife, right next to the couch. But anyway, so she opens it. And it's a tall box kind of. It's a tall, like sort of narrow box.
It's a priority mail, you know, pre-thing box.
Okay.
Like a, yeah.
So she's like opening it and she's like, these are office supplies. And I'm like, oh my God, she sent us used office supplies from her fucking, no, I'm going like, she sent those from her office. She sent those from her fucking office. Because what's on the Patreon? Was it on the Patreon?
I don't remember.
Yeah. So we have a Patreon podcast. If you're interested in joining the fram, this is how close we are. www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics for $1 an episode. We talked about like office supplies and shit and how I still have used office supplies from one of my roommates.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, that's right.
And so I'm like, oh my God, those are from her fucking office. And the delight on Julie, she's like, post-it notes, calculator. And now meow meow, pull out the letter. It was like six fucking yellow legal pads. Cause we did talk about that. Tons of post-it notes.
Okay. I mean,
and there's a
paper clips, binder clips, pens, highlighters.
And the pens are all together with a rubber band wrapped around them. The shit's from the office. It's amazing.
Little legal pads, a spiral notepad, like office supplies from an actual office supply closet. You can tell. These aren't used. These are new because they're fresh from the closet.
Yeah, but they are.
So Julie and Brandy, I have now, she wrote this on the legal pad.
Right, which of which there were like four or five.
Which was also a stroke of genius.
A handwritten note.
A handwritten note on the legal pad. Julie Rennie, I have been trying to find a way to prove my undying love and affection for you two, and finally figured it out after this week's Patreon. Enclosed, you will find a giant load of stolen office supplies from my work. I hand-picked pilfered each item just for you two. I am the office manager, so no one can even bat an eye as I carried all of this through the office. Love you, guys. Ashley Ryder, P.S. Who ordered the fat pussy? Yeah.
I love that she fucking got all the supplies and blatantly walked through the office and with them in her hands.
And then she walked by like, what are you looking at, Todd? Yeah, I need these for my office because you know why? I'm the boss. So why don't you go ahead and keep sitting down with your khaki pants and not say anything to me, okay? Carol, what do you want? Yeah, Julie, nothing. That's what I thought.
Julie went through each and every... Like, I'm already in the bathroom fucking doing my shit, and Julie's still, she's like, clips! She's like yelling to me. She goes through every single thing. She's the biggest, biggest smile on her face. Like, fucking hilarious, dude. Straight up hilarious.
Hilarious.
A bright spot in a fucking tough ass week, man. Mm-hmm. Bright, bright, bright spot. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Ashley. Like, man. Even during that Patreon, I was like, why am I going into this story? Why am I telling this story right now? I have no idea why I'm telling this story. So it really, like, if it was all for that, because goddamn, did we get a good laugh?
Yeah, we did.
And we love her. She, we're continuing our relationship with Ashley. It continues on.
Yes, well, there's important business to be done.
There is.
On these business office supplies. So.
So thank you guys all so much.
Thank you.
And sorry the whole beginning was about gifts. But not sorry.
Listen,
love you.
You know what? We do this every week. So sometimes it's life. It's just life.
It's
you
life.
Know what I mean?
It's just life.
Sometimes you're late. Sometimes you're on time.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
right.
Sometimes you're constipated. Sometimes you're not.
I'm always pretty much constipated.
I'm normally not, but I am right now. you know what I mean? Just like my body's just not having it.
All right. Well, let's do Eye of the Shitstorm.
Okay.
Shit, take some shit. Put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some buck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be.
All right, so this week the shitstorm is in a courtroom swirling around Paul Manafort and his giant veneers. I like to call him Manafort. Paul Manafort was Trump's campaign chairman, and today is his first day on trial for bank and tax fraud. On money that he got from motherfucking Russia. Okay?
Russian money.
I mean,
Russian
every
fucking
day with Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. Every day.
Russia, Russia, Russia. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I guess one thing about putting this up late is we got to wait until this court day was a wrap, which we did. Mm-hmm. And even though we did very little research about it, I mean, we did our best, but. They picked the jury, did opening statements, and already like called one witness.
Right.
So they got it. They got it.
They got it going.
They got it on a fast track.
They do have it on a fast track. I mean, I tried to find transcripts and tried to find like, you know, whatever. I mean, literally that also.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Even the stuff.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Even the wrap ups about the trial are like short, you know?
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, called the first witness. He went up. He said, hey, yeah, well, Russia. And then they were like, and then the next guy came up. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, whatever. But now this, if you don't know what's going on, this is the first trial resulting from the Mueller indictments. And it's still not clear if this trial will expose any Trump-Russia collusion, but that's what everyone is hoping for. Now, Trump is so concerned that he tweeted, quote, collusion is not a crime.
And every on Fox News, I mean, it's montage after montage of every, from Rudy Giuliani all the way on down, every single fucking anchor, collusion's not a crime. Collusion's not a crime. Collusion's not even a crime. Collusion's not a crime. Said 1,000 fucking times. And then everyone on MSNBC and CNN wants to go, collusion's not a crime, but conspiracy is.
Exactly.
Fucking fuck
exactly.
off.
Exactly. I mean, the level of which, and not to mention that Trump, And Giuliani, for the last, how long? 2 years? Have been saying, no collusion, no collusion, there never was collusion. It's ridiculous. It's a witch hunt. There's no collusion.
Fake news.
Fake news. This is, I can't get a share. I can't get a fair break. I can't. It's just like Russia. I didn't talk to any Russians. I don't do anything
exactly.
with Russia. I got nothing to do with Russia. I won. Why don't you look at Hillary's emails? Look at Crooked Hillary. Look at yep. Crooked Hillary. They colluded with Russia. Well, turns out, sweetie.
Yeah. I mean.
You colluded.
In November 2016, Hope Hicks, so that dumb idiot was the campaign spokesperson at that time. She said, quote, there was no communication between the campaign and any Mm-mm. foreign entity mm-hmm. during the campaign. Okay, that is not even remotely true. Nope. By January 2017, 2 months later, when asked by Chris Wallace, Mike Pence said no one in the Trump campaign had contacts with Russia. No one in the Trump campaign. No one in the Trump campaign.
I can tell you that when we were working on the campaign, that I can tell you that we didn't... We didn't talk to any foreign people. You know who we did talk to? The American people. Okay?
That's what he said.
Now, I was busy looking for gays, you know, mm-hmm. to tie them up, to get them in a room. Okay? Mother said, Mikey, pull your pants up, Mikey. I said, no, Mommy, I don't want to. When I'm alone with Mother, I call her Mommy.
Oh, okay.
I call her Mommy. Okay? You understand that?
I mean, how could he possibly know? Anyway, he's not even allowed to be alone in a room with a woman. So if anyone in the campaign was a woman, I guess they could have been talking to anyone and he wouldn't know because he couldn't be alone with them.
Especially foreign women, okay? Not allowed to be with them.
Then by July 2017, John Jr. was asked if he met with any Russians. He said, did I meet with people that were Russian? I'm sure I did, but none that were set up.
And we know that's a lie. I mean, is a blatant lie.
That meeting wasn't set up that you had with Natasha Borishkovsky, fucking
the lawyer.
Nadia Komeninsky, fucking whatever.
I didn't know. We were at the mall. I was having a juice and some lady came up and said, I want to talk to you about the campaign. And I was like, what? And she said, want to talk to you about the campaign.
Bien?
Yeah, she's a glamorous woman, and she wants to talk with you about the campaign.
Sexy and sultry.
Sexy and sultry woman, and she wants to talk to you about campaign. I know Russians have to be lower down here. That's Melania's up here, but Russians are down here.
The Russian
here,
lady.
You know?
Listen, it's. They never stopped. Like, no one in our campaign, no one involved in the campaign mm-hmm. had any contacts with Russia or anyone in the Kremlin. Paul Manafort was the campaign chairman.
Yeah.
He was working for oligarchs.
He literally would step off of a plane from the Ukraine with a luggage filled with Ukrainian money, right?
Yeah.
And then come back to work on Trump's campaign and do the bidding for the Ukrainian/Russian oligarchs.
Yeah. No one involved in the campaign had any contacts with Russia. Not only that, Corey Lewandowski was before him, and he fucking was talking to Russia.
And everyone, every single person in the Trump administration is talking to Russia.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't wait to see which person is Red Sparrowing in the administration.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Jared fucking
Kushner.
Corpse face. Yeah. Uh-huh. He fucking set up a back channel.
Right.
Set up a back channel. Like, he's creating... And then they all went out to the fucking Caymans to go with all their hidden money.
Paul Manafort had 30 bank accounts. 30. 30 bank accounts. For what? Like, a person doesn't have 30 bank accounts. I can see two. Maybe three. But now you're at 30? For what?
Exactly.
One bank can't handle all of your legal money?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. So he's on trial and, you know, it's probably nothing will come out of it except for the fact that even Terry Schiavo knows that he's money laundering yeah. and embezzling.
And he didn't pay taxes on the money that he got from the money from the Ukraine. And his defense is going to be that, well, they told me to do that. They didn't want me to. They told me they forced me. And it's like whether they forced him or not, because basically that's like a mafia. He got money from criminals. So
yeah.
doing criminal work. So then of course they didn't want him to pay taxes on it because they didn't want him to know. Nobody wanted them to know where the money's coming from. So then he didn't pay taxes. He puts it in weird banks. He does bullshit with it. He buys ostrich jackets. And then so now he's evading taxes. So regardless of whether he's going to have to go.
Yeah.
He's going to be indicted. He's going to be, you know, he's guilty of absolutely tax evasion 100%. So
that's that. Mm-hmm. Even though that was extremely douchey, Now it's time for the official segment called Douchecapades.
That my name is Douche. Douche, motherfucker, my good shot. That motherfucker's name is Douche. That's Mr. Douche to you.
This segment is called Douchecapades, and it's pretty self-explanatory.
This week, the douchecapades involve the douchiest thing on earth and the douchiest CEO on earth, Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg.
People might not know, or people who listen probably have heard you, or but if you don't know, I want you to know the depth of which Brandy hates Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, I've always hated him. I absolutely hate Facebook. Mm-hmm. I never took part. Nope. I happily have said for the longest time, I do believe... that it will be and has begun being the downfall of civilization as we know it.
Yep.
Even in the fucking grocery store, every time somebody walks by me, and believe you me, I try to avoid the grocery store. I go like turn into night terror, like Juliet. That's just like, I'm like Juliet at the airport at the grocery store. I can't. Everybody is only in their own tunnel vision to get what they need when they need it. Mm-hmm. And the grocery store didn't used to be like that. And every time I see somebody with their myopic fucking focus on the lettuce, mm-hmm. I'm like, Facebook. I just shrug and go, Facebook is what did it. I believe it. It's like it has entitled everyone like into this like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
So yeah, if for anyone who's new here, I hate it. I hate it. And the depth. And when everybody started the resistance, I said, you know how you can resist? Cancel your fucking Facebook. Get off Facebook. That's how you can resist, because then you're going to avoid coming across this fake bullshit. Me and Julie got had by annoying fake news about Black Lives Matter. We were victims to that. Mm-hmm. I was a victim to a ton of it. And it's that easy. And I don't even do fake Facebook.
Right. Well, everyone knows that there's tons of fake news, speaking of online, whether it's seemingly harmless shit like how Justin Bieber is a lizard person, I'm going to say that's fake, to a story that's literally harmful, like Hillary Clinton is running a pedophile ring out of a basement in a pizza place that ends up getting shot up.
Even after that fake fucking pedophile story ended literally violently, Facebook, Twitter, Google, and YouTube did nothing. They continue to allow this fake shit to be uploaded and shared on their platforms. If that wasn't bad enough, Mark Zuckerdouche profited off of it. He fucking sold ads and made a shit ton of money to Russians. He sold ads to Russians all through the fucking campaign, made money off of fucking Russia and out of Russia, and then sold private information, people's private information he sold for money, like on Facebook, so that they could go and make, you know, so that Cambridge Analytica and fucking Jared fucking Deadskin could go target all of these people off of getting all of their profile information.
He started out denying it, obviously, because, I mean, he had to. But then after he finally got caught and there was no more pretending that he wasn't a shady, money-grubbing douche who invented the thing that literally ruined the world. Okay, he got called to testify before Congress and still acted smug. He is so smug.
And this was like last week
He is very smug.
Yeah.
He is very smug and defended his protection of free speech by saying he's Jewish and he still wouldn't take down pages made by groups who deny the Holocaust. Holocaust deniers. They have their rights too.
And he's so altruistic that he and believes so free is he's not going to police the site. He leaves up Holocaust deniers and everyone's sitting there is like this. Who? What? So, I mean, it's even every single person in Congress was like, has this fucking, has Data lookalike lost his mind? So
Is a robot, by the way, from Star Trek Next Generation. I want everybody to know. You all probably already do, but Data is artificial intelligence, who actually doesn't have emotions or a heart, okay? The guy doesn't have emotions. But if you watch Star Trek and you watch Data, he literally looks like he has more heart and more sensitivity and more emotion and less smugness than Mark Zuckerberg, who's a human being. Go on.
And that's why they had Jesse Eisenberg, or whatever his dumb name is, play him in the movie. He's smug, too.
He is smug.
So all that asinine shit finally caught up to his ass because Facebook stocks have plummeted. And on Saturday, he himself lost $15 billion in one day. That's billion with a B. And I smiled. Between the office supplies and that was the only two times I've been smiling.
I wrote myself a post-it note that came in from the package, and I wrote, Mark Zuckerberg lost $15 billion, and I posted it to my own self.
Yeah.
Because that's how delightful it was.
Yeah, it was.
You know what I mean?
Delightful.
I mean, now he's changing his tune, girl.
Yeah, that happened Saturday. Changing his tune. Today is Tuesday, and by today...
he announced today that Facebook pulled down 33 pages from fake news accounts attempting to influence the November midterm elections.
So now all of
I am data. Boop, boop.
And all of a sudden, data is going to start policing the site like he fucking should have done before some dumbass idiot got shoveled over to some Islamic radical terrorist website where he got mind controlled and then went and shot up fucking a bunch of gay guys trying to have fun at the fucking Ramrod in Florida or wherever the hell that was.
Pulse, exactly.
Pulse, yeah. That guy was put into extremist groups because of people targeting him on Facebook. Now, obviously, these people are unstable, but their access, he's not going to go on Google one day out of the blue and go, let me look up extreme Islam or whatever it is. Like he was found like the same way Scientology looks and knows how to find thirst bucket actors in LA who are easily controlled and they can tell who it is. That's how they do it on Facebook. And those people ended up dead because of that. And it's like the only way, and I've always said this, I'm like, they need to get sued. They need to be sued. There was another thing on YouTube. I think it was on YouTube. It was a video about how some fucking cement company, like a Mexican, somebody was trying to like destroy this. I don't even know. It's called Cement Mex or something. And there was another video where it was like that pizza pedophile thing. It was like, that Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks are running a pedophile thing through the cement, whatever it was, right? God. And I'm like, you know, that kind of shit puts people in danger and it's slander. Right. And instead of the person who put it up, it's like YouTube needs to be liable for that shit. You want to put up slander? Because believe you me, we put up something with a song that they're not going to make money on. They'll rip it right on down. They will rip it right on down, won't they?
Yes, they will.
So I'm pretty sure they have people looking through there and I'm like, they need to start getting fucking sued. When somebody goes on Twitter and they get, you know what I mean? And they're tweeting out and whatever, fucking harassing somebody or whatever it is, Twitter needs to be liable for that shit. Yep. Because otherwise, and one last thing on this and we're going over, but I read this interesting article in Vanity Fair about how you know how when like, for example, in Red Sparrow or whatever it's called,
Red Sparrow,
how she they CGI'd her face onto that ballerina.
Dancer, yeah.
That has become so easy and so accessible to just anyone, and that technology to be able to do that. Kind of like the way that guy has that app where he does the Kardashians that we like.
Oh God, Kyle Dunnigan.
Yeah. So now, and that's just an app. And he's making himself look exactly like goddamn Bruce Jenner.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, because this technology is able to do this and because like AI, we already said AI, but it's becoming like machine learning. Like the machine learning has gotten so high, like machines can work on their own. You know what I mean?
I'm so glad we're going to be dead before the machines take over.
Believe you me.
I don't want to be a battery.
So it's like now you can make a video where you're putting someone's face on the different body and you can fucking ruin someone's life. And what the article was in Vanity Fair was like, it's all fun and games when it's Kim Kardashian's face on some random porn star. When the people who are doing this start getting involved in politics and start fucking framing people and destroy, like that's what it's going to get to, especially because basic bitches like, you know, who are on Soccer Mom book, who are believing whatever they see. Right. I mean, it's going to get to that level where you're looking at a video and you, of course, you're not going to think that it isn't real.
No, Lee Weinberg is going to completely think it's real.
Yeah. But we didn't believe that was Jennifer Lawrence doing the ballet dancing.
No. Well, I mean, I was like, because I thought for a minute, I was like, did she have to, she, how did, she can't.
We have to get out of this segment, but it's basically, The most followed pages that were removed were Black Elevation, Mindful Being, Resistors, and Aztlan Warriors.
I don't know what that is.
They ran 150 ads for approximately $11,000 on Facebook, paid for in U.S. and Canadian dollars. The first ad, so these are all about, the first ad was created in April 2017, the last one June 2018. These are all to affect the midterm elections. They think, everybody thought, oh, they're not going to be able to fuck with the midterms because they're so state specific. Yeah. And they are. And of course, Facebook, again, if you post something with a tit, God forbid if somebody posts a breastfeeding picture, and you know what? Good. I don't need to see a fucking breast selfie. But if you do and you got a tit, that will be pulled down immediately.
Yeah.
But Facebook can't figure out who bought these ads.
Right.
They can't figure it out.
Right. Right.
They did pull down 33, and that's a good sign. But again, I encourage everyone who's on there, especially a Julie knows a girl just like this. If you're only on there to troll and you don't post anything, cancel your account. Like, yeah. Make an impact. First of all, trolling and fucking lurking on other people's pages is fucking tragic and it's toxic. So do what I say, do what I do. Whenever you go to get on there, tell yourself this: Instagram is a nasty habit and fucking close it. It's like, it's not worth it. He owns Instagram too. So I'm not going to baby steps. Okay. But it's mainly Facebook. It's yeah. Facebook that is, it's a wrap. So now we're going to do Anne read a book in 2 days.
Mm. Check this out, y'all.
R-E-A-D-B-D-B-D. Hey, okay. R-E-A-D-B-D. Hey, boo-doo-zoo-gee-boo. Hey, I don't read books, okay?
Clearly, so, my friend. Clearly. Yeah.
You know, I like to think of myself as a musical person, but sometimes I can't get it together.
Well, when it involves spelling.
I can't do it. I can't do spelling and I can't harmonize. Well, now it's time for the segment we call Anne Read a Book in 2 Days. The first time Anne read a book in 2 days for us was way back in January when she took us to Fire and Fierescue. Then she was officially given her own segment back in April when she read James Comey's book.
Books?
Yeah.
But for those of you who skipped those episodes or have no long-term memory, I'm going to recycle her intro for the third and not final time. Anne is one of my oldest and best friends. I've mentioned her on the show a million times, and even her husband, Mike, who has the same birthday as George Clooney. They have a son named Nicholas that I will happily raise as my own if they ever die in a tragic shark attack.
Not only is she a close part of our family, she's also a good friend to the show. She's one of the original 14 listeners of DGP and a Patreon subscriber. But that's not why we chose her. We chose her because she's hilarious and exceptionally smart and one of the only people we know who could read a 350-page nonfiction book in 2 days.
And this time she read former White House press secretary trainwreck Sean Spicer's new book, The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President.
Hey, Anne.
Hey, Anne.
Hey guys!
Wow,
was his book that long? How long?
It was. It felt longer. I think it was like two something, like 250 or something.
Okay,
it could have been 10 pages. It could really, with the amount of actual information, it could have been 10.
I would have thought
a little leaflet.
I would have thought that's what he would have written, and each page would be a word. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Or
the way he talks.
So did he work with the ghostwriter? Is your impression that
I don't think so. If he did, the ghostwriter was seven. it was a tough one.
We did.
This was the hardest one of the three so far.
Oh.
Yeah.
In
terms of getting through it.
We heard that we didn't do any research, obviously, but we did.
Neither did he. It's fine.
We did hear that he fucking called Christopher Steele like Michael Steele.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, point. Michael Steele. Yeah, there's no. I mean, it's poorly written. I don't know if anybody proofread it, fact checked it. The vocabulary is awful. It's just loaded with inaccuracies.
I should have asked to get if I
lies.
I forgot to ask Anne to pull her favorite, maybe her favorite quote.
Oh, I wrote down.
Oh, she does. She does. Oh, she does.
So, like, I literally at one point kept going, "This can't be real. Like, this isn't a real statement."
Oh, we did. Like, we did also hear it was in fact filled with like at least 10 blatant lies.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, can't imagine any of it being true. I mean, everything about it is either just a total mischaracterization, an outright full-fledged lie, or he just kind of creates these false narratives about his life, and it's just it's weird.
Well,
that's probably the biggest sin of all is maybe the most boring person on the planet.
I would have thought that he would be writing a book that's like did he expose anything? Was anything
no?
Exposed?
It's not salacious at all. I think, like, reading it through, it's like the way he speaks about Trump, who really humiliated him in many ways.
Yeah,
he speaks about him so glowingly.
What?
It's bizarre. Like, it really is strange. He really. I mean, there are a couple of people he's not huge fans of, and he kind of does little jabs. But Trump, you couldn't do no wrong.
Who was it they talk shit about? The Mooch?
Mooch, for sure. Fucking does not care for the Mooch.
What did he say about the Mooch? What did he say about our friend, the Mooch?
That's right.
Yeah, well, he calls him, like, desperate, paranoid.
Dude.
He said that he betrayed Trump and rancid pubes, and that
he likes rancid
and
pubes,
intimidated.
Right?
Oh, yeah, they're like best pals. Oh,
okay,
they worked together at the RNC for a long time. And then... So, yeah, they go way back. But, yeah, he does not like the Mooch.
What about Kellyanne Conway? Any mention of her?
She's barely mentioned, like maybe once or twice. Same thing with Sarah Sanders, which I thought was strange. Like, they're both blips, like barely
especially
mentioned.
When Sarah Huckabee Sanders worked underneath him, right? The
yeah.
whole time.
I mean, he says she's great. Like, he obviously likes her, but there was nothing, there was really no insight about her or Kelly, Anne, whatever the hell.
Did he offer insight about anyone except what?
Yeah, what about Ivanka and Jared?
Any of them?
No, he doesn't talk about any of them. The people he doesn't, he kind of makes, it's really about him and his experience in his life and then in the White House. Like, he doesn't talk too much about other people that were there with him.
Does he have some exceptional life? Like, did he have something where he was born in a tractor and
no,
had to raise himself in an alley?
That where, you know, when it started, I went, oh, no, I don't think so, Sean. He starts the book explaining where he, like, he really tries to make it like he had this working class upbringing. And, you know, he was just salt of the earth. And he grew up in Rhode Island. And, you know, in Barrington, which is rich, right? I go, so I texted my good friend Jill, who grew up in Rhode Island, but she grew up in Woonsocket, which is the armpit of Rhode Island, but I love it. But it is. And I was like, Barrington's pretty rich, right? She's like, yeah. And then he talks about how his family, I actually wrote this down because just the way he says it is so funny, how there are yacht clubs and they belong to the Newport Yacht Club.
I mean, he goes, you're going to say
Newport
you're working
yacht
class?
Club.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
And Newport, Rhode Island is one of the richest places in America.
In the world. Yeah. He goes,
it's where Taylor Swift has a house.
Club, which sounds impressive, but was really the working man's club.
What?
It became my father's second home. My father launched his own yacht brokerage company. Yacht broker sounds fancier than it was. It's like, no.
My father made gold out of cubes in the basement. Gold sounds way more fancy and rich than it really is.
Gold's no platinum.
Gold's
platinum. A yacht? I was like, yacht broker and yacht club are...
Wow. That's the working man's business.
And
that's
selling... Who's he selling the yachts to? Working men?
Yeah, blue collar.
Yeah, I couldn't... I said to Jill, I'm like, could this possibly be... I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, could this possibly be a working man's yacht club? And she's like, he's delusional. Actually, she wrote back, is this guy delusional or what? Yeah, it's insane. And then he explains at some point about how when it was a Clinton, whoever it was, did the millionaire yacht tax, that how it like destroyed his family because rich people stopped buying yachts. Like, this is insane.
I
need
even
to feel bad for him. It was So that's how it kind of started.
When the yacht factory closed.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole town just dried up. And Barrington has never been the same.
He could barely afford the tuition to this very prestigious private school.
And I mean, I hate that we can just see the move that all the Republicans have to do, that Fox News move, like, to go for the working class people. It's that Bill O'Reilly classic fucking bullshit.
It's like, it's okay to say you come from a wealthy family. Mm-hmm. Like, we assume that. It's like, why try to downplay it? It's just bizarre. Like, I didn't get it. But so that's how it started. I was like, you lost me, Sean.
And just be blatantly saying the working man's yacht club.
Yeah, the working man's yacht club.
Thinking that someone's going to read that and go, yeah, the working man. Like, that's the whole Trump administration, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, right, exactly. So. Yeah.
Okay, so then how long was the memoir portion of it? I hope you didn't have to put up with that too long.
Yeah, that part wasn't too... He just talked about his career and all the different jobs he had and
where did he go to? Do you remember where he went to college?
It wasn't anywhere big. It was just like a normal... It was like somewhere in Connecticut. It was the working man's college. It was probably the college of someone who didn't get good grades, but then somebody hooked him up with a job in D.C., which is what happened. And... he worked for, like, I don't know, a bunch of bullshit. But what was funny, at one point he talked about working for... He was the press secretary for Mark Foley for a little while.
Who's that?
And, well, I was like, Mark Foley, how do I know that name? And he's like, he was a real nice guy. Or he was good to staff and fun to be around. I'm like, who is that guy? And I had to look it up. And that was the fucking guy that had to quit because he was soliciting... sex with, like, underage congressional pages.
Nice.
By the way, which one, Anne? Which one? Yeah, I didn't even know where you were headed. I was like, the one that asked his assistant to have his baby for $1 million, which, by the way, I don't know why she didn't do that.
Full soliciting teenage boys.
Oh.
Yeah, but he was a real, you know, when he wasn't doing that, he was a real peach, I guess. But it was... I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, Spicer.
He's a nice guy, you know?
Did he talk about his own personal life? Like, is he married?
He's married. He has two kids.
Cut the shit.
Exactly.
Oh
my God.
He's going to break that, that picture.
Coming
and
you're
what is he sad. Doing?
Bugging Captain Bugaboo. He's up. And Julie has, of course, we don't need your notes, babe. The drawing, the Jesus drawing, like, prominently displayed. And... where she can gaze at it, and he's about to break it. Okay, he's bugged
off. He's still mad at you for leaving him in the heat wave. He's getting back at you.
Okay, did he talk about any of his divorces?
Oh, yeah, he talked about the wife and the kid. It was, I mean, he's really just so dull of a person. Like, it's really...
like, no humor.
Ooh, no, I mean, his humor is lame, no wit. He's just a, you know, mediocre... white guy, a privilege, like they all are. You know, it's just like, oh, brother.
Any talk about, like, the press conference he gave with something in his tooth or anything like
that? Oh, yeah, he has a whole section that's, like, memes. It's, like, the chapter something like, it's like, memes. It's, like, I fucking hate you. And he's just, I hate him so much. Like, I hate him worse now that I had to read this book than I hated it before, which I didn't think was possible. I was, like, no, I can't not like him. He's the worst.
So, like, what's
so I will say to the listeners, please don't buy this book.
So, like, when he talks,
I mean,
about
that was what got me through it.
When he talks,
like, I can warn everyone.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm just warning everyone. Please don't read this garbage book.
So when he talked about Trump, it wasn't like, I know everyone thinks that I should hate him, but was it like that?
He doesn't even say that.
So he doesn't even have an acknowledgement of we all think we all want this book because
he
think
kind of.
Gonna...
I mean, he basically just defends him in every situation, like kind of like how he did in the beginning. Well, I know it sounds fancy, you got it's like that. I know you think he's brash, but let me tell you what I really think about him. He's gaslighting. It's the same. I know you think you're seeing this. This is really how it is. I'm like he's doing full gaslighting through the whole book, and I'm like, you are no Charles Boyer, sir. You cannot.
And what's the point, though? To what do you think
the
point
book?
Is? No. I think fully writing Trump a fucking love letter so that Trump would send that tweet out, which he did, which is the only thing that probably
just to stay in his good side. I mean, I'm like reading it, going, what is he trying to get out of this besides obviously, you know, a little bit of cash? But it's like, he's just angling for like a show, probably some kind of show on Fox News. He wants to stay on everybody's good side so that they will come on. I don't know. But Trump doesn't care about him. It's just so, it's almost sad.
Did he say he quit?
Yeah. So he says that he, so this is how, I got to read, this is hilarious. So he, the beginning of the book is him finding out that the Mooch is going to come in and like help out. So Trump doesn't really, doesn't say anything about him taking over the job or anything. He's just saying, hey, you know, we're taking a beating in the press. We're going to bring this guy in, which every person who's ever had a job knows that that means you're getting pushed out and are losing right. your job.
Time That's for you to train means. Your replacement, hon.
Yeah, go get, put the plant in the box and walk. I mean, that's just what everybody knows. So he says, you know,
put the plant in the box, Anne, and walk, put your frames in the plant.
Put your personal effects, yeah. Get it in the box and walk out. I mean, that's just, everybody
do
knows
the scene
that.
From Baby's Boom and get out of the building.
Exactly.
It's exactly that. Yeah. So he is, I guess, kind of sees the writing on the wall, although he doesn't say that. He says, I just figured it was time for me to resign. So he goes in, he gives, and I wrote this down because the dialogue, he puts, does full dialogue of what's happened. And it is like a third rate soap opera, this dialogue.
Exciting.
Yeah. So he gives him this resignation letter that reads like fan mail. Like the end of it's like, thank you for making America great again. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's fan mail. Like, it's like me writing to Jack Wagner in eighth grade saying Frisco and Felicia forever. But it's, I was like, okay. So then I'm going to read this to you verbatim. This is literally what's in the book. So he goes into Trump's office, hands Trump the resignation. Trump gets the resignation letter and he says, no, Sean, no, no, no. We need you here. You are part of the team. And then Spicer says, Mr. President, the press secretary is supposed to tell the president's story. But from my first day on the job, I have become the story. Trump, look, I get it, Sean, but I think we can work this out together as a team. Mr. President, I'll stay on until the end of August to ensure a smooth transition, but this is the change you need and deserve. The president paused for a moment before saying, okay, if that's what you think. This is what's in the book. And I was like, well, that can't be. But none of that can be. Do you think that can't be the conversation?
It can't be. And also, I'm so stuck on how many times he said, Mr. President. Do they all walk around there doing that? Is there no,
I mean, seriously,
like, lack of, was there any informality? I think,
well,
I'd be wanting to call
to
him
West
Donald.
Wing, according to West Wing and all those shows, they have to call them Mr. President. Even when they're friends. They walk into the, that's the other scene. Hey, that's the,
yeah,
other,
I guess it's
scene.
Like a sign of respect.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, even if you're friends, you have to be like, they would go, Donald, sorry, Mr.
Yeah.
President.
And then, I mean, really, like, I have become this story.
I have,
like,
become.
Yeah.
He really martyred himself. He was really like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the whole book. I mean, the entire thing is he martyrs himself. It's really.
Another gross quality. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
it really is. I'm not going to complain, but here I go complaining.
Did he talk about when he worked for George Bush and he played the Easter Bunny in the lawn? Like, literally,
no.
They made him dress up as the Easter Bunny?
No. No, okay. But I wish. That would have been somewhat interesting.
Yeah.
And did he say anything? What did he say about SNL?
Oh, he said that didn't bother him. He said that none of that bothered him.
Well, I thought it was he had the problem that he became the story.
Right.
The only story he became was a joke.
Yeah.
There wasn't any other story except for...
He said specifically with her and SNL, he was...
Oh.
It didn't bother him. Like, her portrayal, I guess. But mm-hmm. it's...
Did he talk about what did bother him?
Well, he didn't like the press.
He
didn't like the way that he was treated.
He didn't like his entire job.
He hated the lady who, remember when it was the big thing about him being in the bushes and then everybody made fun of him about being hiding in the bushes?
Yes.
He goes on and on about how he was never in the bushes. And if you go back and look at the footage, you'd see he wasn't in a bush. He was standing next to a bush. And the Bush thing really bothered him. So that one, he said that it was in the spirit of malice and a desire to wound. That's what he said.
Oh.
That's a bit much. That's a bit much.
In the spirit of malice. Because you know the first thing anyone's going to say is, well, if anybody can shift the truth, even from in the Bush hiding in the bush to standing beside it. It's you, sir. Yeah. You did nothing yeah. but shift facts. But I guess his is fine because it wasn't in the spirit of malice with a desire to wound.
Yeah, it's.
I want that on a bumper sticker.
He's delusional. I don't know.
I think you're right. Really... though. He's definitely doing it for money and to get a show. And yeah. I think it's what when I you we're gonna read it and martyr yourself. I was wondering if we were gonna see it because with the other two books they were always on the they were all over the news. And this time I think like Rachel Maddow called up Anderson Cooper and said, let's cross networks here and let's make a pact not to do anything with this book so it doesn't sell one yeah, single
and,
book.
Well, and also there's nothing in it of note. Like, it's just him kissing Trump's ass. Here's a good quote that this is what he says for Trump. He is a unicorn riding a unicorn over a rainbow. That's a quote.
What?
I don't even know what that means. How does Trump. A unicorn okay, even let's ride dissect a unicorn? This.
He's a unicorn. Yeah, Riding a unicorn over a rainbow. So he's not only is he
in terms of that he's like this
so unique. He's so special.
Yes, Cracker Jack.
Right.
You know.
He's riding a special he's so special he found the one thing you can ride over the thing that you can't the untangible thing.
Why couldn't I come up with another animal? Why unicorn twice? I mean, this is how it's really.
Why aren't you a why isn't he a unicorn riding a megalodon over?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or like this is lazy.
That is lazy. There's many fantastic creatures he could have chosen.
And he should just be a unicorn not riding anything because unicorns don't ride. He should be a unicorn riding a surfboard over a fucking rainbow. Riding a bike. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. He calls him a master at emotional imagery, which I don't know what that means either.
That could be true. I could see that, a master of emotional imagery. Yeah, well done. He does make people emote.
He's a good salesman. He sells unicorns. Shit.
Yeah. Calls him kind and gracious.
Kind.
Yeah. Kind.
Well, did he talk about Melania?
No, not really. I mean, again, she was just like a blurb. Wow. Yeah.
Well, Anne, before we let you go, and did you want to tell us? And did you write down anything you want to say? I don't know why I can't get that out. You know, last time with James Comey, you had all these notes that you didn't get to do.
All I did was write down his dumb quotes because they were so. Oh, here's a good one. He said every time before he walked out to his briefings, he would read a daily passage from the book Jesus Calling for inspiration.
Stop.
Stop.
Jesus Calling?
Stop.
It's just awful. There's like three full pages about him loaning the president a tie once. Like, this is, he was really reaching. It was,
He loaned the president a tie?
Yeah, he needed a green tie for St. Patrick's Day. Like, this required 3 pages of your book describing you getting the tie, bringing the tie in. He never got the tie back.
No, but of course not.
I was like, this is a story that was you found interesting enough to include in your.
He never got the tie back.
The Holocaust. Remember when he did the thing
that they didn't to Hitler. Because
no one's ever gassed, someone to use chemical weapons or something. It was about chemical weapons.
No, Hitler. This, go ahead.
He goes, this is what he wrote this out. He goes, he was talking about just media training in general. And he said, the number one rule I gave every Republican was don't ever, ever talk about rape or compare anything or anyone to Hitler or the Holocaust ever.
Oh my God. But then he did.
And he's like, well, I broke my own rule. But I'm like, what a strange set of rules you have to give people.
All right, don't talk about rape or the Holocaust. There's a few things that are important to know about journalism, okay? These are very important things. You got to stick to the facts.
Yeah.
You got to do your research. Don't talk about rape and make sure not to compare anything to Hitler, okay?
He probably said don't compare anything to rape.
And don't compare anything to rape.
You know?
And don't compare anything to raping Hitler or don't compare anything to Hitler raping a unicorn, raping another unicorn, flying over a rainbow and raping that too.
Especially raping over a rainbow. Don't do that.
No. And make sure you don't rape any rainbows today. Okay, everyone? Let's get out there and have a good one.
What a weird thing to have to warn people about. Like, isn't that just inherently something you should just know as a decent person?
I mean, that is so bizarre. That is so weird.
Yeah, it was in the handbook. God, and he broke the rules.
He did.
Yeah.
That one I like.
Yeah, but it's just a bunch of garbage like that. I mean, it's just
so he offered up nothing. So he had nothing to say. There was no revelation. He had nothing salacious. No. There was no gossip on anyone. He didn't reveal any truth. It was nothing. It was a nothing waste.
It was all lies.
Did he mention
a waste of paper and
wow.
Did he ever mention how his health clearly declined and if it's gotten back? Did he talk about his health at all? Because he started looking severely unhealthy.
He did. I mean, he talked about like the hours and how he didn't get to, you know, see his family and it was draining and stuff, but it was just mostly him boo-hooing about his life. And a lady yelled at him once in the Apple store and he wanted to buy his wife an Apple phone and a watch or something. I'm like, is this seriously what you're complaining about? There are children in cages now.
Yeah.
And he's like, the surprise was ruined for the Apple watch. It's like, the tone deafness is like beyond any.
And that was always his problem. Trump sent out someone to speak for him who's so fucking tone deaf. He's angry, yelling at everyone. And it's like, I mean, it didn't matter what the topic was
so
about.
So self-righteous. It's like, you know, woe is me. It's really. And it's just, I think that's why he hasn't been on anything. It's so, there's nothing, not one piece of it that rings true to me. Like, there's not one moment where he's like, you know what, that hurt my feelings, or when he did this I didn't like. Not one. Remember, he's like this very devout Catholic, was on and on about how he's a devout Catholic. When they all went to the Vatican, he was left off the list and couldn't go. Okay, you know they did that on purpose. You know they did.
Of course.
And
they
he
did.
He was like, luckily, so-and-so took my rosaries and got them blessed by the Holy Father. It's like, can't you just say in that moment, that really hurt my feelings, I wanted to do it, and they left me off the list. Like, not even in that moment could he be truthful. I'm like, you're just awful.
Sounds like a devout Catholic. Okay, so Anne, tell the 14 listeners your all your places they can find you.
You guys, nothing's changed since the last time. I've done nothing of note.
Well, we might have gotten a few more listeners as we lost that same amount, which is why it always pretty much hovers around 14.
Okay.
But I'm saying there might be new people listening. That
right? Okay. So the remaining three that don't yet follow me on Twitter, it's at Anne @Anne_Morris Morris. I'm not even on there very much, but that's all I got for you.
Yeah, Twitter's fun. Okay. Twitter's fun.
Yeah, Twitter's fine. Instagram's just pictures of my kid and my animals, so that's not too interesting.
Well, thank you for reading that book and suffering through that and telling us all about it. I mean, if nothing else, we have unicorn riding a unicorn over a rainbow.
I mean, that's it.
You know what I mean?
That's all you can hope for.
We're going to have to get, like, I don't know, I want to do Malcolm Nance's book or something. Yes. I want to do some Russia
book. I have that.
Book.
I have that one. Bob Woodward is writing a book about Trump. It's coming out in, like, September, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's
going to
be
good. That'll be a good one.
Because God knows you prefer a biography, Anne.
Well, I prefer something not written by a total fucking asshole, spineless, boring, disgusting man. Oh, and also, I'll just leave you on this. The fact that he called it the briefing, which I'm like, is a poor man's Grisham. I'm like, get it together, the briefing, the cover.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The title. I love that the president's in the title, and he didn't even, he wanted to talk about loaning him a tie and call me unicorn.
Yeah, and it was so great, and he'd be like, can you believe it? It's like, oh, God. Don't read this book, anybody. Don't read it. Don't click on anything about it. Don't give him one nickel.
I need to go find out how many books it sold.
Well, you saw that thing from Chris Hayes. Did we ever see the second part?
I didn't listen. I got to go find out how many.
Chris Hayes
we
showed.
We can find out. I got to find out.
I know. I wish we knew now. Basically, Chris Hayes from MSNBC, you know how he does that thing one, thing two?
Yeah.
So he's like, thing one, me and Julie are so goddamn brain dead that he did thing one and it was so interesting and then we couldn't even wait for thing two. So we never found out the second part. So, but thing one is that Trump's stupid tweet about this book, like, this is a very good book. Go, everyone go buy it today.
Like, go read it.
Yeah. Everyone go buy it. And then there's a graph showing that after he tweeted it, like the level of the book sales. And then there's like one graph shooting up to the sky, right? Right after he did the tweet. But then Chris Hayes is like laughing during it. Like he has like the big smile and he's like, well, if you look closer at the graph, you'll see something. And he's like smiling so big. And then me and Julie didn't even find out. I'm like, what'd the graph say? Like, was it a fake graph? Was it used from, I mean, I don't know if it was like doctored or what, but there was something like about that they're definitely trying to say about these damn book sales. When we find out thing two, I'll text you. I'll text you the
deal.
That's
more interesting to me. That is something I'd like to know.
Okay, good. Okay, we love you.
Okay.
Love you.
Until next time, until Bob Woodward. So, Anne, I'm calling you back to tell you about thing two.
Okay.
We found the shit. Again,
where did you find it? Did you have to look it up? What did you do?
Yeah, I just went to Sean Spicer book MSNBC because I knew. I'd already.
But we this time tried Watch to stick around.
Thing. Yeah.
And we did get to see him full laughing of what he's done with thing one.
You know.
Comes back, shows happy. The fucking graph. And again, it's like picture, think like a graph going up and down. It's a vertical graph. And there's like lines that indicate each day. They're all like look like short lines.
Yeah, because like it came out last week.
Yeah,
his book.
Then the day, you know, they're not that short. But then the day Trump tweeted,
it spiked.
It's huge.
It went crazy.
It's like
it went through the chart.
Yeah,
through the chart.
And you know, and when you look closer at the graph, what it said,
what?
That it sold 14 copies. The days before, it was like selling 5 and 6.
Yeah, and then it shot up to 14 because of Trump's tweet.
I mean, 14 fucking copies on Amazon. And by the way, one of them's probably yours.
14. It wasn't like 14,000. It was 14.
No, it was 1-4. And they probably have each person's name. Your name is probably on that chart.
God, that is so funny. I mean, I got it on Amazon. I was like,
you're probably going to be on some fucking list now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
where the Russian internet research agency gets to you.
I know, if I start getting served like ads about, you know,
yeah, fucking Russia. Fascism and shit.
Yeah, click here if you think Clinton was crooked, all that kind of stuff.
If Chris Hayes fucked that up and it was 14,000, I am going to, there's no way.
No,
well, because sometimes
no,
you know, like on the side of the chart, they'll go in 000s, like they'll do that kind of stuff. But
I
even if
it's
14,000, like that's not even a lot either.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Let's just give him the benefit of the doubt that it was 1,400 or 14,000. Like that's not.
Let's
that's
say it's 140. Even then.
Yeah.
Oof, that's hard.
That's
hard.
This poor guy.
You guys, I feel for him. I do.
They said that it's going nowhere. Nobody's hiring him. Like he's kind of like nobody wants to take him on.
I wonder if he has
on.
To give the money back for the deal. I don't know if that's.
Oh, like his retain his. I don't know. I just think he thought this was going to be a springboard and he was going to like get some work out of it and people are going to be interested, but it's just so, I mean, I think he did himself a disservice writing it. I really do.
Agreed.
It's that boring.
And you. But we love you for
it. Yeah, I did a disservice reading it.
Yeah. Okay, so, we love you. Sir.
Love you.
Bye,
bitch. Guys.
Bye. Now it's time for So There's That. Okay, this is a part of the show where I give Julie the task of finding a So There's That moment in all the gross and dark shit that's going on right now. And you know what? And we've been even trying to do it in our personal shit we've been going through, haven't we?
That's true.
So maybe we have grown as people from this annoying fucking segment. But I really, Aran Aro, you know, is in my heart and lives on in my heart for everything he said last week at the live show. And and it's like now he's sort of synonymous with this for me. So it was pretty easy for you today.
Today's definitely a revert. I mean, it's like when you know, one of those things where it's like just finding the shining light in the thing. But like it's pretty negative.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Hey, it could just be something that made you happy in all the dark shit. Sometimes negative.
That's right. And that's so. Sometimes in the darkness of the So There's That cavern and in our lives, we lay in the dark, crying, grasping into the night's cold, loveless arms and wonder how and why we got here. It is in that depth, that darkness,
that I stumbled upon this oasis. I opened my swollen Bell's palsy eye. Then I opened the other eye, the regular one, and I saw these words on the computer screen. Headline: Donald Trump Jr.'s bae, Kimberly Guilfoyle, left Fox News amid dick pic scandal. Report. Let's just let that sink in, okay? I had to read it a couple times. Then I had to investigate further, because at first I thought it meant Kimberly Guilfoyle was showing off her own dick, but it turns out it's even more skanky. According to several news sources online, probably all Russian, so this probably isn't even true, but I don't care.
P.S. I didn't even know they were dating.
Apparently it's in the news. Apparently they're dating. So Donald Trump Jr. is dating Kimberly Guilfoyle, okay? He left his wife and now he's dating Kimberly Guilfoyle. Or he was dating Kimberly Guilfoyle when he was with his wife. No, I mean, let's, well, whatever. So multiple sources told HuffPost, that Guilfoyle's exit from Fox News, where she had worked since 2006, came after her alleged inappropriate workplace behavior could no longer be tolerated by the network, by Fox News. Vanity Fair, which broke the story about Guilfoyle leaving the network, and the Daily Beast, which reported that Fox News staff allegedly waged a hostile whisper campaign against Guilfoyle, have said she crossed the line by using network makeup artists for personal outings. But the accusations Guilfoyle faced were much more serious. Six sources said Guilfoyle's behavior included showing personal photographs of male genitalia to colleagues and identifying whose genitals they were. So bitch was walking around being like, look at this big dick I fucked. Look at this dick I suck. Yeah, look at these dicks.
I mean, like, no, like, slut shaming aside, no. The only people we know with tons of different dick pics on their phones are fucking cum dumpsters.
Or gay guys.
Again, same diff. With all due, you kids. With all due.
But with one, it's respectable, and with another, right. It's just sad.
Yeah,
and ladies, you cannot be a cum dumpster. No, I'm sorry. You can't. Only men can be.
If you are going to be a cum dumpster, you better be it for one dick.
Right. Well, that's different.
Of course.
That's
like
different.
Walking around with a bunch of dick pics, and it's like, yeah, there are a different set of rules for guys and girls. There just are in that case. It's just crass. And it's tacky.
And also, you're at work, bitch. You are at work. And that's the whole thing. You're at work. And like, now guys can't be showing dick pics at work, and neither can you. You fucking cum thirst bucket.
Yes.
Like, you get a fucking baby bottle of cum and like, get your life together. Yeah. Like, get yourself together. She's fucking walking around showing dick pics. Now, also, apparently she's also talking about sex a lot at work. So she's being provocative. She's obviously flirting with every guy in there. She's being a climber, an opportunist.
Right.
She's using sex as a tool. She is a tool. Like, it's all that. So
she's a sex tool.
She's a sex
cum
tool.
With a baby bottle filled with cum.
On the baby bottle, it just says loads. Oh, God. You're welcome, gay guys. You may take that to the next party. So she's apparently also engaging in emotionally abusive behavior toward hair and makeup artists and support staff. Now, that you know is true. I can complete, and you can tell by her hair.
Julie says, first thing Julie said, you can tell by her hair. You can tell by her hair she's mean to them.
You can tell. You can tell. She fucking walked around Fox News showing off dicks of guys she fucked and sucked, and then was a vicious viper to her hair and makeup people. Can you imagine working there and being like, oh God, here it comes. She comes with fucking dick pics. I have to do her stupid fucking hair. Which, you know, is just a fucking nightmare for them. You can tell. And yeah, you can tell. You can tell by her hair, if nothing else, that she's just an asshole. And her face and her makeup and her body and her voice and what she says. Okay? I can only imagine having to work with this fucking asshole. People at Fox News didn't like her. Fox News. At Fox News, the network that brings us Outnumbered by Whores, the Small Dick Show, a.k.a. Greg Gutfeld Show, and the Micro Penis Show called Waters World. The Rape Hour, a.k.a. Hannity, just... all of these people, the worst people on the planet, they don't even like her. And she's a full skank. And they didn't want her.
It wasn't, titties weren't enough.
Nope. Current and former Fox News employees told Huffington Post that Guilfoyle also openly complained about feeling slighted and criticized other women at the network. One target of her criticism was Judge Jeanine Pirro, who hosts the popular show Justice with Judge Jeanine. Now, fine. Jeanine is batshit crazy. She's insane. But, I mean, you can't be talking shit about Judge Jeanine.
Come on, bitch. Come of on. Course, okay. Jeanine had no time for you.
Of course not. She told
you've dried cum all over your fucking cleavage. You fucking asshole.
It's in her hair. I can't. I'm going to throw up. Guilfoyle told colleagues that Pierrot was too old, okay, and should no longer be on television, according to two sources who also said Pierrot caught wind of Guilfoyle's disparaging comments. In 2016, she asked the women who worked at Fox to support Roger Ailes, America's second best raper, next to Harvey Weinstein.
And we know for sure she fucked him.
Oh, 100%. The story proves everything we think is true of Fox News, which is that the entire network is made up of rapists and sexual harassers, even the women. Fox News is either a secret underground Red Sparrow type school churning out male and female rapers, or it's just a place with shitty news fronted by mostly men who wear toupees and the cum dumpsters who love them. But even this cum dumpster wasn't enough for fucking Fox News. Nothing makes me happier to see the inner workings of an evil brothel and watching a social climbing opportunist get kicked to the curb. So there's that. So that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
Yay. Thank you guys for listening. If you haven't signed up for Patreon yet, go over to www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. Pledge $1 an episode so you can hear that members only 1 hour long podcast. You know what? It's the friends who pay for the Patreon that are keeping this podcast, Dumb Gay Politics, that's going. True. If it weren't for that, we would have had to stop doing this by now because it's too much work to do for no money. I mean,
and we will also never stop talking about it
ever.
Sorry, not sorry. I'd like to clarify that whatever ads you hear are put there by Acast. The ads pay for this, the hosting, basically. Like without the ads, we'd have to pay for a server. Acast hosts podcasts for free under the terms that there will be ads. So the Patreon is how we're getting paid for doing this podcast. And it's the only way.
Yeah. So that's why we talk about it all the time. They pay. They're paying the bills.
They're paying the bills. They're paying the bills. I mean, whew.
Yeah. Now, I was going to have you read an email that we got from a girl who came to the live show in Portland. We got the email through Patreon, but we don't have time this time, so I'll read it next time. Okay. And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But it's mostly been gay and dumb.
And late.
And late.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Night. I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.